Hello, everybody. Hello, New Hampshire. All right, guys, it looks like we're ready to get started with our speakers. Thank you so much for coming out. It was a fabulous march. Do you want to? Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. My name is Willow. I'm from Up New Hampshire. We're the lead organizers, along with Open Democracy and America 2.0 and New Hampshire Unites for Humanity. So let's hear
let's
it up
give
for
a round of applause!
Is that what you were going for?
Yeah, that's
you want
what
me
I was
to go?
Say.
I'll go.
I can go.
That is Rose, also from Up New Hampshire. So say hi to Rose. So, guys, we have an incredible speaker lineup for you, and thank you so much for coming, and we hope that you guys get down on the email list so we can keep moving forward with our events and our actions. We have a lot to do, and so make sure you get on one of the email lists to hear about the next upcoming event. So first, we have Devin from the ACLU to speak. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and hand it over. Thank you guys so much.
Okay. Come on, let's see how agile I am. Woo! Woo! All right, let's make some noise! Woo! Let's hear another round for Willow and Up New Hampshire and all the organizers. So my name is Devin. I'm the executive director of the ACLU of New Hampshire, and it is just such an honor to be in your presence here today. And what a real gift it is for us all to be able to be here together on such a sunny day. But especially it's an honor to be here in such really scary and frightening and uncertain times. Because it really is a time when we're facing what feels like unprecedented threats to our most basic and fundamental freedoms. You know, our country has seen more than its fair share of discrimination and injustice. But I think part of why the agenda of the current administration feels so just completely startling and so unsettling is because it really is an amazing attack on all civil liberties across the entire spectrum. It's an attack on our right to freely express our political views. It's an attack on our right to exercise our religion without fear of government retaliation. It's an attack on the rights of immigrants, our neighbors, who contribute to our society in countless ways to live without fear that their families are going to be ripped apart. And it's an attack on the right of individuals to make their own private decisions about reproduction. And it's an attack on the most basic fundamental right of constitutionally eligible voters to cast their ballot and to participate in our democracy. All of these rights are under attack by the current administration. And if the administration's agenda is allowed to advance, it will have an impact on each and every one of us. Which is part of why I think you've seen such an incredible outpouring of energy and support and action, new groups starting up like Up New Hampshire, all over the place, is because of people like you who are willing to stand up and who are willing to fight back. And I'm gonna guess that for most of you here today, this is not your first action that you've taken. Am I right? If you have had a house party, if you have called your elected officials, if you've written to a letter to the editor, I want to hear you make some noise. Because it is your tenacity, and it is your commitment, it is your courage that truly makes New Hampshire a great state. And our country and our state needs you to keep active now more than ever, locally and nationally. And what does it mean to act locally? It means we need to figure out how federal policies are impacting the lives of real people in New Hampshire, in our communities. It means reaching out to religious minorities to help them feel safer and more insecure in their homes. It means building local coalitions of churches and lawyers and businesses and police chiefs who are committed to shielding our immigrant communities from the harsh blow of an inhumane enforcement and deportation onslaught. We can have an impact on how federal policies are going to affect our communities. And acting locally also means working hard to thwart our attacks on civil liberties at our own state house here, and in our town councils, and within our own school boards. Because what we're seeing goes way beyond executive orders that are coming from the White House. We are seeing, in state after state, sophisticated campaigns to erode our civil liberties at the state level nationwide. And I'm here to tell you, New Hampshire is absolutely no exception. How many of you were here in the really momentous fight to defeat the right to work effort last week? I mean, that should be is such an amazing example of what you can do here in New Hampshire, that party politics does not have to prevail in our state. And it really shows that we, you and I, have the ability to have an impact if we get out there and we really fight for what we believe in. Because the fight is far from over, and we are right in the thick of it. On voting rights alone, here in New Hampshire, we saw over 24 bills aimed at keeping people away from the polls introduced in the State House this year. The House election... The House election law, third floor, legislative office building, one block over, is going to decide tomorrow and the day after, Wednesday and Thursday, who will have, whose votes in this state is going to count in the years to come. Do you have some time? Do you have some time tomorrow afternoon? Do you have some time Wednesday afternoon? Go over, check it out. Right now, there are also several different bills pending in the New Hampshire State House that threaten the right of Granite Staters to make our own decisions about our reproductive rights. There's bills that are going to pit fetal rights against women's rights. There's a bill that puts dangerous restrictions on abortion access, and a bill that targets providers and patients receiving abortions for intrusive data collection. Now, this isn't what the people of New Hampshire want, but it is part of a broader, efficient effort to incrementally erode the right to choose across the nation. And on all of these issues, we must not give an inch. We must draw a line in the sand, and we must be standing up for the truth. And I know that you all will be standing with us on the front lines, and we are eager to work with you. If you need help being engaged, please go to our website, aclu-nh.org. We'll keep you engaged. If you want to volunteer, if you want to be an ambassador for immigrant rights, if you want to be a student ambassador for voting rights, if you want help writing a letter to the editor on that issue that is most important to you, just sign up and we'll help you find ways to get involved. And tomorrow, just tomorrow, at 1:15, there is a hearing on a bill to protect the rights of all Granite Staters not to be discriminated against based on their gender identity. Now, only in New Hampshire, at a time when states across the country are facing efforts to target and harass transgender individuals in their community, in New Hampshire, we're going to move forward. We're going to advance protections for these people. So I just want to say, as long as you stay active and as long as you stay engaged, you can and you will continue to make a difference in this state and for our country. And I just want to thank you for your unwavering commitment to fight for justice in the months and the years ahead, because we need you. Thank you very much. I'm supposed to introduce my good friend, Will Hopkins, from Peace Action New Hampshire. Take it away, Will.
I don't think it's going to go up quite that high. I'll stoop a little bit. Hi. I wanted to start with one little bit of housekeeping, and that is that sometimes the police get a little upset if we don't have a pathway so that passerbys can get through. So if folks can kind of, if the seas can part, all right, that didn't work, but maybe it's working a little bit. Just make sure that there's a little bit of a corridor for folks to go. Those of you who know me know that I'm not big on writing speeches. I like to wing it, but today something possessed me to write it down, and I'm just going to read it. But thank you all for being here. It's heartening, and I'm just going to go for it. Happy President's Day. My name's Will Hopkins. I run New Hampshire Peace Action, a path I came to through a year as an infantryman in Iraq. And if my year in Iraq taught me anything, it was that in all populations, there are people who are crooked and selfish and mean, but there are also people who are giving and kind and generous. And in any population, there are children who are universally beautiful and innocent and worthy of protection. I work for peace because I've come to believe that the essence of war can be reduced to this, that people of positions of extreme wealth and power pit the poor and powerless against each other for control of land and resources and ideology and money, that masses are forced to pay and bleed against people who are similarly helpless against their oppressors. And through means of propaganda and nationalism, we are tricked into or forced into going along. As such, my work is dedicated to a specific set of freedoms and rights, and this is the march for rights and freedom that we're here for today. And those are the rights that every child has the right to grow up free from the overwhelming trauma of war, free from bombs falling on them while they sleep, free from bullets and terror of imminent death. I carry a belief that our freedom depends on a government free from the corrupting influence of big money and politics, that a two-party system where both parties depend on donations from military contractors ensures a government enslaved to war and war profiteers. And I envision a world free from that. I believe that American soldiers should have the right to trust that their government will use war only when all other options have been exhausted and nothing else will keep this country safe, and that they should be free to lay down their arms when they don't agree with a war, as I wish I could have. I believe that their families should be free from the fear that the next call or the next knock on the door will deliver the message that a loved one is lost. And I believe that everyone has a right to live in peace. As I bear witness to the power of a people rising in resistance, the Women's March, today's action calling for freedom and rights, the flood of calls and letters that have been bearing down on Washington in the light of the changes in our government's intended directions, the words of Valerie Kaur, which my friend LR introduced me to, resonate most. What if this darkness is not the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb? What if our nation is not dead, but a country still waiting to be born? What if the story of America is one long labor? The midwife asks us to breathe and push, because if we don't push, we will die. If we don't push now, our nation will die. So let us take one another's hand and push together. I'm glad to be pushing with you all today. Let's not stop pushing until all children can grow up in peace. And just like Devin, I was going to walk off without introducing my friend, and I love introducing Olivia. When I talk about how we live in a party where, in a country where two parties are enslaved by the people who fund their campaigns, and we see a group of oppressors who are pitting us against each other, we think of those people as being fearless and above reproach. And I think that what we're learning is our own power right now. And we're learning that those people are afraid of losing that power, and that the people are going to have a voice. And I know a secret about the folks who own our government and who are making the decisions that are oppressing people, and that is that they all have a nightmare. And in that nightmare, there is a thing, and that thing is chasing them and organizing people as it goes. And people are rising, and that thing is Olivia Zink.
I knew he was going to do it.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for being out here today. It was really wonderful to organize with UP and America 2.0 and New Hampshire Uniteds. My name is Olivia Zink, and I'm the executive director of New Hampshire Rebellion, which is a project of open democracy, and we're working hard to end big money in politics. And we stand here today... We stand here today calling for the freedom of corruption of big money. We stand here today to advance voting rights. During the 2016 campaign, billions of dollars were spent from the most wealthiest people in our country flooding the political process. Super PACs are enabling large corporations to make contributions of unlimited amounts of money in our campaigns. And we see this in New Hampshire. We see super PACs in New Hampshire outspending candidates for state senate. And let's be honest and acknowledge what we're talking about. We're talking about a rapid movement corrupting our political system, where the various wealthy and special interests are determining who gets elected and who doesn't get elected, and the money who buys lobbyists to advance public policy. And that's why, so fundamentally, that we, the people, must come together and demand a better future. That this is what Lincoln envisioned. This is not what Lincoln envisioned of a government of and by the people and for the people. Getting big money out of our politics is vital, and we need to restore our democracy, and we need to ensure that we are able to advance our campaigns, ensure that everyone has the right to vote. And make no mistake, our voting rights are under attack. Over 40 pieces of legislation have been introduced on voting rights. I've sat through numerous hearings in election law and encourage you to join us. And many of these proposed bills would jeopardize many New Hampshire residents' eligibility to vote. And this is a fundamental right of all Americans. And this is not something that we can allow extreme rhetoric and lies to attack. And so we're teaming up to fight back so that we don't roll back our rights. But we need your help. There's postcards on this table here that you can send to the governor or to your state senator. Please fill one out. You can leave one or mail it yourself. Please stand up for voting rights by a letter to the editor, or calling your members of the Election Law Committee. There's critical votes tomorrow. And our voices are important. We must make sure they're heard so that our elected leaders are accountable. And I just want to introduce Alex Stone, who's a high school student, who will share a little bit about her story.
Hi, I'm Alex. So I'm part of New Hampshire Unites for Humanity, and you guys are awesome. Thank you for telling me to do this. And because I'm one of those damn teenagers, I have mine on my phone, so you have to bear with me. Also, thank you guys for coming out. I got here a little late, actually, and I was thinking to myself, where are they? And then I heard a big, loud group of people coming down the street. I was like, oh, I found them. They're right there. A dear friend of mine presented a question via Facebook the day after the election. She asked, who taught Donald Trump to love? She went on to talk about how, in our anger, we should look for compassion because clearly this man has never been taught good, solid love. This kept coming back to my mind, and I kept thinking about it over and over again. Who did teach Donald Trump to love? Did anybody? Was he left to figure it out on his own? Is that why he seems so horrible? Should I be forgiving? But after the first week of him being president, I was done. I no longer cared who had taught him to love. I was angry, hurt, and felt betrayed by a country that I do my damnedest to be proud of, even when it makes it next to impossible. Donald Trump has a lot of alternative facts. So let's review a couple. Climate change isn't real. His hands are a normal size. And the gays love him. So Trump, buddy, I'm going to talk to you for a minute. You probably won't listen, but maybe because I'm one of those gays that you love so much, maybe you will. I'm not all that happy about how things are going. The White House website, which you probably know, I'm pretty sure you were the cause of it, has nothing anywhere on it about LGBTQIA rights anymore. This is really concerning. Because while you haven't necessarily done anything explicitly anti-gay yet, you also haven't done anything pro-gay. And your vice president thinks that conversion therapy is a legitimate cure for homosexuality. You know what happens when you try to cure homosexuality? You end up losing magnificent minds like Alan Turing. He essentially won us World War II, and he killed himself because of the cure for homosexuality. We are already a marginalized group, and we actually do need to protect it, do need to be protected. And I'm just going to tell you a few examples that have personally affected me. The man who raped me told me if I was a real boy, I'd be able to stop him. One of my friends isn't able to use the locker room at school because they aren't sure which one he's supposed to use. Another friend has received backlash from his basketball team because he happened to not have been born with a penis. My ex-girlfriend's family only acknowledges her identity to tell her it's wrong, and my family won't speak to me because I wear a binder. This isn't equality, this isn't fair, and it isn't America, and it's only gotten worse since he's been elected. You want to make America great, Trump? Take care of your people. Your supporters are angry because we're chanting, "Not my president." But how the fuck can you claim to be our president when you don't care? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you do care, and you're just in a position where it's hard. And you know, even though it's really, really hard for me to believe that, I'm going to do my best, because my nanny taught me to always look for the best in people, and you're just kind of an annoying Cheeto, so I'm not going to let you disobey her. So here's my request. Show us you care. I'll take baby steps. I understand people don't change overnight, yada, yada, yada. But you are our president, and you do need to take steps to support your people. Or at least the people you represent. That's not just straight white men, dude. That means Hispanic people, gay people, trans people, people of color, immigrants, even the illegal ones. Every single human being who exists in this country deserves equal rights. Donald J. Trump, if you want our advice, we're giving it to you. Protest is our way of communicating, and we're talking to you. So listen and understand. And now, it is... And now it's my honor to introduce Reverend Eric Jackson of the NAACP.
Who's glad to be here today on President's Day? The Day of the People. Is this the Day of the People or what? And I am so glad to be here. Thank you, Olivia, for extending this opportunity for me to come here and speak on today. I am so glad to be here today. And my name is Reverend Eric Jackson, and I serve as president of the Greater Manchester NAACP. We have been engaged in the struggle for justice here in this area now since 1964, over 50 long years. But I didn't come here today to talk about the NAACP. I came here today because I believe right now we are living in alarming times. Right now, the executive and legislative branches of our country are plowing down the civil rights of the people. And it is alarming. But can you all indulge me for a little bit so I can just tell you a personal story about my own alarming experience in life? Is that all right? So I live in a church-owned property. They call it the quote-unquote the parsonage. And one night I was in my basement, coming upstairs all the way up to the second floor, and I laid down and was getting ready to go to sleep after a long day. It was about 11 o'clock at night. And then my carbon monoxide alarm went off. And I thought that I could possibly be inhaling carbon monoxide gas. So I run all the way back downstairs to the basement. And I try to figure out why this thing won't stop. So I call the trustees and they come over. And then they tell me that Eric, there's nothing wrong with this carbon monoxide detector. The only thing that was wrong with it and why it keeps being alarmed is because it simply needed new batteries. And I say all that to say that right now, these are alarming times that we live in. But that experience taught me that there are some things that are more alarming than others. And when the alarm of injustice sounds, there's no sound that's more alarming than the voice and power of the people. Abraham Lincoln said in his Gettysburg Address that a government of the people, a government of the people, and a government for the people shall not perish. And if you don't believe me, when women secured the right to vote, it wasn't just one or two people. It was a movement that was by the people and for the people. The gains of the civil rights movement was not just one or two people, but it was a movement that was for the people and
by the people.
Stonewall riots, where we saw LGBT equality movements taking place in our country, was a movement not just of one or two people, but it was for the people and sanctuary cities and congregations where those have stood for immigrant rights was not just the work of one or two people, but it was a movement that was for the people and
by the people.
The establishment of a minimum wage in our country was the work of the people. It was not just one or two people, but it was for the people and Martin Luther King Jr. says, our lives begin to end the day that we become silent about the things that matter. And right now we are living in a time right now where things are so alarming that we cannot be silent. We have to continue to lift our voices. There's an old song that says, lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. So let's continue to raise our voices, lift every voice and sing until the right to vote is available to every single person in this country with ease. Let's continue to lift our voice until no human being is illegal. Let's continue to lift our voice until there is true equality across genders in our country. Let's continue to lift our voice until there is a living wage established. Let's continue to lift our voices because this is a movement that is for the people and
by the people.
Let's march on till victory is won. And now I have the honor of introducing to you Kathy Corky of the one and only Sierra Club. Let's make some noise and welcome her to the mic right now.
Thank you. Oh, it's perfect. Where is that? We will not be silent. We will not be silent. That is why we're here. We will not be silenced by you or anybody like you, buddy. That's us, right? We are not going to be silenced. I'm Kathy Corkery, and I'm from New Hampshire Sierra Club. Thank you so much for coming tonight. I'll make this short because it's getting cold. We're here to celebrate President's Day. We have models like Lincoln and Washington, who unified our nation under dire circumstances. As a country, they provided clarity and set our society in a course of a democratic republic. In the absence of such a president today, we need each other. We find the aspirations of our forefathers remain our aspirations. We're still trying to achieve a just and equal democracy. We are not done yet, and it is still our aspiration, and we're still working on it, and we're going to work on it. It's hard work, and that's why I'm here. I'm here to celebrate the efforts of all of these people who've worked here and commit to you to work through today's challenges with all of you here. Sierra Club supports the unity of our progressive partners. The environment has protections because we as a nation value clean water to drink. We value clean air to breathe, safe places to work and play, and we value the stewardship of the wildlife and landscapes bestowed upon us. We revere justice, skilled workers, religious freedoms, voting rights, women's rights, LGBTQ rights, equity, Native rights, and all progressive values. That's why we're here today. Sierra Club works really hard to protect and fight for climate solutions. And we're working right here in the State House. There are six bills trying to derail our renewable portfolio standards. Six. Two of them almost say the same thing. But they're there, and we're fighting, and we need your help. And we know that the forces that will try to pull us apart will use every trick in the book. They'll promise us wealth and power. They'll intimidate. They'll create hardships and penalties and isolate us. But we, as a progressive community, we have to stand together. And when they threaten our environment, they also are trying to stop us from voting. And we have to stop both things. We must protect our vote to protect our water. The industry lobbyists right here, they're working to make us pay for pipelines, for oil and fracked gas. They want us to pay for their pipelines to export fracked gas. It's like paying for a wall. That's right, and we've got to stop that. This is not okay. They are so desperate. The big oil and fracked gas bosses are working right now to stop the sun from setting you free from the chains of fossil fuels. The sun! We've got to protect our future by protecting our rights. To fight climate change, Sierra Club, we have some petitions as well, just like everybody else here. And come and find me, and I'll tell you all about it and ways that you can get engaged. But in conclusion, I ask you for your help to keep us unified. It will be hard, and the temptations will be real. But today, we must continue to aspire to the democratic rules of past presidents so that 100 years from today, there will still be the United States of America. Thank you very much. And I have the honor of introducing Mr. Glenn Beckett. He is Mr. Glenn Brackett. Glenn Beckett is another friend of mine. My apologies. He's the president of the AFL-CIO here in New Jersey. He's coming down from the win with the right to work. Thank you,
good job. At least you didn't call me Glenn Beck. Hey, anyway, my name is Glenn Brackett. I'm the president of New Hampshire AFL-CIO. We represent more than 40 unions and more than 40,000 working families here in New Hampshire. This is what democracy looks like, right here, right here. But I got to tell you, I'm of two minds. It's been a month since we've had our new president. And in some ways, I believe that our new governor is worse than our new president, but that's my own personal feeling. But I'm of two minds, because one thing that really ticks me off is for 20 years or more, working families, people like we have right here, are coming into this building to protect what they have, to stop the other side, to stop people from taking what we have earned, what we have fought for over the years. And every 2 years, we go through it again and again and again. It was mentioned a little bit earlier about right to work. Are you familiar with what happened here last Thursday? That was a victory for middle-class America, that we changed what's happening in this country, starting right here in New Hampshire. But it pisses me off. I got to come here every 2 years and do it again. But on the other side, I have some friends that one of them came to me the other day and said, I went to a Democratic Party meeting over on the seacoast. We usually have 8 to 10 people in that meeting, and we can never find enough candidates to fill up the slate in the local community. At the last meeting, there was 55 people there. I had another friend who's a state senator in here out of the seacoast, and he told me that usually when they go to their Democratic Party meeting, there's 8 to 10 of them, and they have some cocktails and some hors d'oeuvres, and they sit around the table and they talk about issues. He said, I showed up 10 minutes late and I could not get in the room. So here's what I think. I think what's happening in this country right now is the best thing that ever happened to us. Because everybody here has had enough of this crap, and they're going to stand up, and we're going to move forward. This building behind us here, this building behind us here is the people's building. Not the lobbyists, not the governors, not the state reps. This is our house. It's not your house. It's our house. It's not your house. It's our house. It's our house. The purpose of being here tonight is to bring us all together, to go for a common cause, to push forward. Sign the petitions. Put your name on the email list. Continue to do this. The most important thing I can tell you to do, and this goes for everybody, is get involved politically at your local level and at your state level. Because there's 400 state reps in this building, and they will listen if you make them. And Right to Work showed us one thing. Putting the right people in the right places pays dividends for all of us. So stand strong, get involved, and thank you all. Thank you for coming.